Happy Tuesday. This is your girl Tracy back again on Time with Tracy, as I said, every Tuesday 5:30 on UMFM 101.5. I hope you are having an amazing week so far, or maybe not so amazing. I mean, we were told the storm was going to be super crazy. I know people shopped like crazy. I mean, Superstore was literally empty, but at least I'm sort of happy that, you know, we got through it. And personally, I'm begging the Winnipeg weather to allow spring to come, because I need spring to come right now. I just need it to come early. And as well, I know, you know, as university students, we are going into exam week and we might be a little bit stressed, but, you know, always remember to take time for yourself, take some breaks. You know, of course, you're going to read more than you are reading, you know, throughout the semester, but, you know, remember to take a break, remember to rest, because you deserve to take care of your mental health as well. Your break could be, you know, working out, it could be watching a show like me, or it could be, you know, going to cook, do anything relaxing that just kinds of that just kind of puts your mind to rest, I would say. And for some of us who already have our finals this week, in my head, I'm just telling myself that, you know, let's do this and get it over with. Yes. Anyways, aside from that, obviously, this week and this episode, I'm going to be concentrating on a specific disorder that is super common. And I hope we shall get to learn more about it, and I hope we shall get to learn how to navigate it, how it looks like, how we can support each other, how we can support a friend. Just getting to know more about it. It's been a while since I actually did an episode about, you know, specifically a disorder, but I am excited just to talk about this and to just kind of shake our brains and see what we know and what we can learn. So for now, let's get into it. This week and this episode, I am going to be talking about depression or major depressive disorder. And actually, this is a very common and very serious medical illness. And obviously, it has very many different negative effects and ways that it affects our lives and what we in general. And before I go, I think that I've noticed in society, or that scholars and educators always talk about how when something gets so common into the society, or when it gets like common, or when people realize that, oh my God, this is happening more often, sometimes we take it not as serious. Yet in actual sense, the fact that we notice how common it is, it should be a sign for us to take it more seriously than we actually would. I don't know if that kind of adds up. But yes, I'm talking about depression might be triggering for some people, but it might be something that you might actually come here today and learn about, or maybe have it more about it. Or this is just a platform that I've said before, I do my research, bring you the facts and try to teach you as I also teach myself, or learn more about something I'm talking about. One thing that I would say is, one thing that should be noted about depression is that fortunately it is actually treatment, which I'll obviously discuss as I go on through the episode. And as well, depression causes feelings of sadness and loss of interest in activities you once enjoyed. It can lead to a variety of emotional and physical problems, and it can decrease your ability to function at home or at work or at school, or in general anything that you do from your day-to-day life. Depression affects this. And maybe something that's super important before we go is kind of differentiating the dif- or differentiating depression from sadness or differentiating depression grief. Because the truth is that, yes, it's true, the death of a loved one or the loss of a job or going through a heartbreak and going through a divorce are difficult experiences for a person to endure. And it's very, very normal for feelings of sadness or grief to come up during this time because, you know, you're expressing a loss, hurtful emotions and feelings that you might be going through. And so many times I will describe them as maybe they are feeling depressed or they are feeling sad, but this is actually different from facing depression. Because grieving is a very process that we definitely go through. You might not have gone through it, or you might have gone through it. And there are actually stories you hear whereby someone will tell you, I have experienced grief and I have experienced depression as well. And they can tell you the clear difference between the two. And they can actually testify that there is a difference between going through grief and going through depression. Both grief and depression, sadness, and withdrawal from usual activity. So they all have kind of the same symptoms, or they all go through sort of the same processes. That's why it's very easy for someone to think that maybe they are having depression when they are going through grief or when they are feeling sad as well. So in grief, painful feelings come in waves, or they come in a mixture. Like you could be doing work and then maybe you see something that reminds you of maybe a person that you lost, and then you feel intense moments of sadness in that time. While in major depression, mood or interest, pleasure, or in seeing your friends, or in doing anything that you love, or in general just being happy or being yourself, is decreased for up to 2 weeks, and even more obviously. In grief, self-esteem is usually maintained, while in major depression, there's feelings of worthlessness and there's self-loathing, and these are so common and they are continuous and ongoing. Another one is that in grief, thoughts of death may surface when thinking or fantasizing about joining your deceased loved one. Well, in major depression, thoughts are focused on ending one's life due to the feelings of worthlessness or undeserving of love or of living or being unable to cope with the pain of depression. One thing that's also important to note that, yes, a person can go through these two things at a different time, but it's also possible for these two things to coexist and for a person to feel depression, to have depression, and at the same time be experiencing grief. So sometimes they can actually be interconnected in some way, or they can kind of happen at the same time, basically. But distinguishing what's different from these two is important because you are able to know what you are feeling, or to have an insight into what you are feeling. And even if you're a person who might have noticed some of these symptoms in a friend or in a workmate or in a colleague, it can kind of help you notice that, hey, maybe there's a difference, and it can kind of help you know what kind of help your friend needs or how you can help your friend through that tough time that they might be going through, be it, you know, grief or be it depression. So one thing I'm going to talk about now is some of the symptoms that a person will feel coming, you know, from maybe mild to severe when it comes to depression. Number one is feeling sad and having a depressed mood, loss of interest or pleasure in activities once enjoyed. One thing I'd want to talk about this is that this doesn't mean, you know, you always love playing football and you didn't want to play it over Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and maybe you felt like in those days I don't want to play it. No. This has to go on for a really long time. Like, you're not interested in it anymore. You just don't want to know anymore about it at all. There could be changes in appetite. It could be weight loss or weight gain that is unrelated to dieting, or that is unrelated to like your food, your relationship with food. There might be trouble sleeping or sleeping too much, loss of energy or increased fatigue, increase in purposeless physical activity. This could be inability to sit still, pacing, handwriting, all these kinds of stuff, feelings of worthlessness or guilt, difficulty thinking, concentrating or making decisions, thoughts of death or suicide as well. And one thing to note when it comes to depression and the symptoms about it are in which some, just like when we talk about it, one thing that makes it had for eating disorder to be treated is the fact that the person who is who's facing it has to be willing to face the eating disorder or to get well and to get treatment. So in some way for depression, because one thing to note, I don't know if I've mentioned it before here, but there is also smiling depression, whereby a person might be fully depressed, but when they are outside in the public, they are you know, fully working, they are capable and all these kinds of stuff. But you know, when you see them, they look happy, they look fulfilled, they look like they are feeling that they have a sense of purpose. But when they are alone, those are not the feelings that come up for them. That's why the thing with depression sometimes is that why sometimes it can be a bit difficult is because the feelings, the fact that the feelings are internal, it's sometimes a bit hard for another person to know that this is going on. That's why it's important for you to know the symptoms that are internal at the same time the feelings that are not internal. This means if you know, you notice that your friend is, you know, is not coming to do the things with you that they have always liked, or if you notice they are hidden away, they don't want to come in touch, that can be a sign of maybe your friend is not doing well. So these symptoms must last at least 2 weeks and must represent a change in various level of functioning for a diagnosis of depression. Also, one thing that I've also talked about is that depression can also coexist with other mental disorders. So a person can be depressed at the same time have PTSD. A person can have depression at the same time have, you know, bipolar, borderline personality disorder, all these different kinds of things. And that's what makes mental health sometimes a bit tricky. Depression affects an estimation of 1 in 15 adults in a given year, and 1 in 6 people, which is 16.6%, will experience depression at some point in their life. Depression can occur at any time, but on average, it first appears during the late teens to mid-20s. And also, women are more likely than men to experience depression. Some studies show that 1/3 of women will experience a major depressive disorder in their lifetime. So I think one thing that I've always told you guys is that I'll always give, because statistics are important for us to see how many people are being affected, how serious issue, how important is it that we discuss depression, how important is it that I check in with my friend as well. One other thing about depression is that there's a high degree of heritability, which means, you know, approximately 40% for first degree relatives. That means this is like parents, children, siblings, and all this stuff. So depression is really, really common, and you never know that the sister, your brother, your cousin is actually going through depression. So it's important for us to take our time, or to intentionally seek out help, or to intentionally seek out our friends to ensure that we are helping them through a journey they're going through. Some other important symptoms to note, it could be, you know, aches and pains, headaches, cramps, digestive systems. These happen physically, difficulty with sleeping, difficulty concentrating and remembering or making decisions. And one other important thing is suicide attempts or thoughts of death or suicide. I remember one of my first episodes was about suicide prevention and suicide in general. The one thing that comes, unfortunately, almost hand in hand with depression is suicide, because of the feelings of, you know, being worthless, of guilt and all these things. And sometimes the pain of depression much, or the pain, you know, the struggle of trying to go through life and trying to do the bare minimum, which could be, you know, brushing your teeth, it could be just getting out of bed, getting a glass of water, just that feeling of like you have to put so much just to do something very small, a bit too overburdening for a person who's going through this, ends up leading to suicide attempts, to thoughts or thoughts of suicide as well, or thoughts of death as well. Next, I'm going to move on to talk about how depression is diagnosed medically, obviously, because one thing you should remember, I cannot diagnose you until I'm fully certified, or we cannot diagnose it. That's why I always tell people, like, the reason as to why I talk about symptoms, or as to why I talk about these things of how is it diagnosed, or how should it look like, is because the truth is that, yes, there are so many doctors, or there are psychologists and psychiatrists, but a psychiatrist can never know what your family member is going through because they are not there with you. And the first step is usually a family member or a friend. Because if you're talking to your friend and you're noticing all these differences, right, and you approach them and you speak to them in a supportive way, that could be the first step in them seeking treatment. That could be the first step in them talking about maybe suicidal feelings that they are having, or the suicidal thoughts as well. Even if it's not about depression, as long as you see something that, you know, kind of connects to mental health, that you feel is not working out, or that you feel is looking a bit different for your friend, your acquaintance, your workmate, just speak to them. It could just be asking questions. And sometimes asking questions can make that person ask questions for themselves, and they're like, maybe I'm not doing well. Maybe I might need to speak to someone, or maybe I might need to seek out some help. So, to be diagnosed with depression, an individual must have 5 depressive symptoms every day, nearly all day, for at least 2 weeks. One of the symptoms must be a depressed mood or loss of interest or pleasure in almost all activities. It's different for children and adolescents because for them, they might be irritable rather than sad. So this means that you must be experiencing these things for up to 14 days. And they have to be like almost every day. It has to be like a continuous thing, because it has to look like something that's out of your control, not even as if, because so many times I've seen and on Twitter, or you see people who are talking because there's no other way to put it, because they are ignorant, and they, you know, they see someone who says that they are depressed and they're like, oh, you can snap out of it, oh, go do this and, you know, you feel much better, or, you know, take some shots, you'll feel much better, or drink some alcohol and you'll feel so much better. You'll feel so much better and all this. The truth is that this is ignorance. Depression, no, trust me, if people could wake up and just release depression and everything, we would have less people dying from suicide. We'd have very few people talking about, you know, saying that they have been diagnosed with depression, because the truth is that these feelings and the feelings that a person is feeling when they are going through depression are out of their hands. So if you think you may have depression, talk to a healthcare provider. It doesn't have to be you looking for a psychologist straight away. It could just be expressing what you're feeling to your family doctor. And one thing that I noticed, actually, at least in Canada, I would say, is that most psychiatrists, or some easy way to say a psychiatrist, is if you go through a family doctor and they refer you to a psychiatrist at the same time. But you know, one thing that I've also talked about, and I talked about it a bit before when I was talking about access to mental health services, but do you actually think that everyone has a family doctor? Or, you know, when we go into a conversation of how accessible is it for people to get mental health services, and how can they get them, and how expensive they are, that's another topic that I have talked about before, but still needs to be talked about by me, by you, by the universities, by the students, by the parents, by the families, by the people who make the policies, because this is still ongoing and it happens every day. When you go to the visit, or when you go to speak to the healthcare provider, your conversations will kind of rotate about, you know, how did the symptoms begin? How long have they lasted? How often do they occur? Do they keep you from going out to do your usual activities? It might help you to, you know, take some notes about your symptoms before the visit as well. Because also as well, something to remember, some certain medication can cause depressive symptoms. So one thing, the reason I'm telling you to go at the psychiatrist or at the psychologist is is so that you can see that this will be just a conversation about how you're feeling. So by the way, when people don't know what's going to happen, when they go somewhere or when they go to an activity and they don't know what's going to happen, that stops them from going. So the whole point of me telling you about this is that when you go, it's basically going to be a conversation about how you are feeling, what have you been feeling, and kind of navigating, you know, where could these feelings be from. Unfortunately, we know that depression can come if someone has gone through sexual assault, or it could be, even though we talked about grief, but depression can actually come from someone losing someone as well. It could be something that just happens, or you just start feeling that way. It can stem from so many different things as well. So these are the kinds of things that you'll talk about when you go to that healthcare provider. One important thing as well that I want to discuss in this episode is, does depression look the same on everyone? I mean, I already talked about depression, so that is a clear answer that no, it does not. For children with depression, they might be anxious, they might be cranky, they might pretend to be sick because they don't want to go to school, yet you notice maybe they have always enjoyed going to school, or they have been excited about, they might not like school, I mean, yeah, but they might maybe have always enjoyed sleepovers at this specific child's place, and maybe now they don't want to go, or maybe they enjoyed watching a specific show and now they are not interested, and all these kinds of stuff. But you're just seeing all these changes as well. They might refuse to go to school, they might try to cling on to a parent or worry that a parent might die, and that is how it will look like in most cases for the children. And then let's talk about how it will look like for the other children or teens. With depression, probably the children may get into trouble at school. They may be sulky, or they may sulk, be easily frustrated. They'll feel restless, have low self-esteem. They might as well, as already said, have other disorders. This could be anxiety disorders, attention deficit, hyper disorder, ADHD. It could be substance use disorder. Other children or teens might more likely experience excessive sleepiness called hypersomnia and all these other stuff. Adults could look like irritability, complain of weight gain. For middle-aged adults, they would have more depressive episodes, decreased libido, middle of the night insomnia, early morning awakening. Some of them actually mostly report having intestinal, as if gastrointestinal symptoms. This could be diarrhea or constipation. For the older adults, this is mostly sadness, grief, and they may actually have less obvious symptoms. They may report a lack of emotion rather than depressive mood. And the reason as to why I tell you this is because, I mean, there will be more detailed explanations than I have been given. That's why it's important to Google. But now you know that sometimes they may look different from different people. Sometimes they may look different for children, as children do express well. And even much older adults, senior, it looked on them. So the whole point is, if you notice one symptom and you reach out to help, you are not a healthcare professional, but that might get them to seek a healthcare professional who will tell them whether they are experiencing depression or something else, or maybe it could just be grief and sadness. But as we all say, prevention is better than cure. That's why sometimes it's better to seek help and find out that maybe you're going through something, a tough time that's making you feel this way, other than not finding out at all. Much, much worse. As I end the episode, I just wanted to talk about how depression is treated. It can be treated through medication, through psychotherapy, or even through both. One thing that I learned in my psychology course, abnormal psychology, is that actually the best way to treat mental health disorders most times is a combination of medication as well as therapy, depending on the therapy that you decide with your therapist. And usually, choosing the right treatment plan should be based on you, the individual who's receiving the treatment, and the medical situation under the provider's care. So no one should force you to take a treatment that you don't like, because the truth is, that's why you see most times that if a person takes tablets that they hate, they might not want to take them. But if you you know, discuss with your practitioner and you tell them, you know, this is maybe your lifestyle. This is the lifestyle that you're living. Maybe this is how work and school integrate and everything else. You choose a right treatment plan that's going to cater for you. It's going to fit right into your schedule, or it's much easier for you to, you know, make some adjustments and, you know, fit that into your schedule. All in all, the treatment plan must be something that you are comfortable with and you feel very okay with. One thing to remember is that sometimes when you're treating mental health disorders is that the first treatment might not work. It might, because it's usually sometimes a trial and error to find a treatment method that might be good for you. That's why you find someone will say, I want to start with therapy and no medication. And then when you go through therapy and you find that that's working perfect for you, then that's amazing. You find someone who will try therapy and they'll say, maybe it's not working. It's working, but not fully working. And maybe you need supplements of that medication, and that would be perfect. While you might find there are some people who will try the medication only and it will work for them, or they might try medication of some specific one and then they might need to change because this one is not working for them. So that's the thing about being patient when it comes to this, and that's why I will always say that mental health disorders, always, it's always much better if you are, you know, like I would say, there's a big percentage that goes into having a supportive friend group or a supportive family, or it could be a supportive work family as well. Just being supportive, that's what it means to be the person that's holding your friend's hand and just encouraging them. You know, if they tell you, no, I've been going for 3 months, this medicine is not working, this therapy is not working, and you, as you, you know, with what you know, you're just telling them that, hey, if it's not working, talk to your practitioner and let's try, you know, you can try something different. I'll be here to support you as you start this new medication, as you find your step. It's just about being supportive. So many times we want to imagine that for us to support a friend, we have to do some heroic stuff. But actually, that's not really the case. It's just about you standing with this person and being there for them. So as we've talked about treating depression, you could use medication, you could use cognitive behavior therapy, all these things. You could use interpersonal therapy. Cognitive behavior therapy just entails changing the way you think about, the way you think, or the way you understand some of the things that happen in your daily life. So it's about generally challenging that unhelpful, the unhelpful thinking patterns and behavior to improve your depressive or anxious feelings, while interpersonal therapy focuses on your on interpersonal and life events that impact your mood and vice versa. So these therapies, you know, combined are just trying to wellness and trying to establish social supportive networks, communication skills, and some people try brain stimulation therapy as well, which involves activating or inhibiting the brain directly with electricity or magnetic waves. And that's for other people. Usually it's tried on people who have tried other options and they have not been effective. So I could go on a lot about this, but I just wanted you to get to know more about depression and just get to know how you can be supportive and what it looks like. I really hope that you have learned something from today's episode, and I hope it has helped you in one way or another. Thank you so much. I can't wait to see you this day as well after I'm done with my finals. And whoever still has finals, I'm wishing you the best of luck. You've definitely got this. That's it from me this week. Thank you so much.